Glory to God. And let's open to John 3:16. I believe we'll learn a few things out of this, corporately and personally. We may have heard all of these things before, but I know one thing for me, the more I read it and the more I meditate upon it, more light comes. More understanding, more revelation comes from that which we've already heard and read. Amen. That's what the Bible says, the entrance of His Word gives light, gives revelation. So the more we feed upon it, the more revelation comes. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's join our hearts together. Father, we thank You for this time that we have in Your Word. Thank You for this great place that we have to fellowship in. Thank You that it's paid for. And we thank You for all that You've done here and are going to do. Thank You for the founders of this ministry, for their obedience to follow Your voice and follow Your directions. For this is truly Your ministry. It's not our ministry, it's Yours. And You see to it that everything is done according to Your will. We thank You that all the bills are paid. Thank You that the money, You said it early on in this ministry, the people would come and the money would come. And so, Father, we thank You for that. We believe it and expect it to come to pass. And we thank You for this lesson. We look to the Spirit of God who will guide us and direct us into all truth. So, Father, as we open our hearts now, we put aside all of the activities and thoughts of the day. And we look to You for guidance and direction in this lesson. We open our hearts for additional wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And when we do thereby, we'll know, and our eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, and we will know what is the hope of Your calling. We will know what are the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in us. And we will know and begin to know what is the exceeding greatness of Your power to us who believe. And Father, we thank You for that. We give You the glory this evening and the praise in the matchless name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, in heaven and earth and under the earth. We give Him the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I ask you to turn to John 3:16. Let's read that together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue to look at the name of Jesus. Is that all right? I'll tell you, I think it's a wonderful thing as we begin to meditate upon His name and we look at the promises He gave us to use His name, that greater light will come. I believe that as the disciples and the apostles were sent out, they were sent out in the name of Jesus. And they used that name with really fearlessness. They used that name. Life or death, they used it. And I believe that as we grasp further revelation of that name, I believe we'll operate the same way, with fearlessness. I remember spending a lot of time as a young person feeding upon the Word of God, and I've told this story before, but when we have experiences like that, we really, sometimes we think, you could take credit. You can't take credit for anything. And I remember when my sister was getting married and having a bridal shower, you know, her future husband was in the house, and I was reading the Bible. I was in my room, I was private, and so he wanted to come in and bug me, I guess as you want to say it, just fuss and talk, and I was quiet. So he started to talk, and we chatted for a while, and the more we chatted, he started to use some things that sounded Christian, but the Holy Ghost began to say, that's not right. He began to say, you know, my contact talks to me. And I said, God ain't no contact. He's God. And so we talked for a while, and I remember sitting around the dining room table that just in an instant, I mean in a flash, he jumped up from the table and got in my face right here, just that quick. Jumped up and was here and started beating his chest and started saying, the devil lives in here. Just, I mean, top of his lungs, screaming right here like this. And it took me, as would you, by surprise. And of course, you know, I mean, that quick that he got up, that quick, just in an instant, you couldn't rehearse it. It happened so quick, it'd be like, boom! It's there. You don't have time to think. There's no time to think, what are we doing here? That quick, I felt an anointing drop upon me like a coat. It just the same way you put a coat on, that's how it felt. It just dropped. And up out of here, out of my spirit, it was that quick. Just as quick as he got here, it was whoom, whoom. That quick. And out of my spirit, this is what I said. I said, Roberto, I am not afraid of demons or devils. And I said, I am protected by the blood of Jesus. Just that quick. And it surprised me. It just came, that happened. Quick, choom, out it came. And when I said that, he did this. And he walked out the room with his head turned away from me and wouldn't look at me for 3 days in the house. Every time he came in the room, if I was in the room, he'd do this. He'd look away. He knew. He knew who I was in Christ. And that's the authority that we have in Christ. The name that's above every name in heaven and earth and under the earth. Demons must bow to the name of Jesus. And so it gave me great insight. I'd had some experiences prior to that particular experience. As a brand new Christian, this is many, many, many years ago, down in New Jersey, down in Allendale, New Jersey, which is right near Ramsey, when the Christian Broadcasting Network used to air their broadcast over some of the local radio stations, and they used to have a prayer call-in line, and people would be able to call in for prayer. And so I, at that time, was going to an Assembly of God church, and the pastor, Pastor John Lipscomb, was very active with them. And so I immediately joined up and got on the prayer line. It was unusual just as a new Christian. But anyways, one of the evenings I was on the prayer line, and this, and because I didn't know what to do where demons or devils was concerned. I'm a new Christian. So this guy gets on the phone. He's calling for prayer. Now, I'm sharing all of this because this has some application. So just hold steady with me. So this guy calls on the phone asking for prayer. He sounded so inebriated, so drunk, that he couldn't even hardly talk. He was slurring. And I'm thinking, okay, what is this? Is this a prank call? Because you'd get those, you know, what is this? And in an instant, just in an instant, he's talking like me right now. He went from sounding drunk, three sheets to the wind, talking like this, just like this. And I'm thinking, this is a joke. This is a prank. And then, all of a sudden, he went back again. And while I'm on the phone, this is why I say it's important to hear the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm a new Christian, and I heard right down here in my spirit, ask him to say the name of Jesus. And so I said, sir, can you say the name of Jesus? And this is what he did. He couldn't say it. And then I heard the Holy Ghost say, ask him to say the blood of Jesus. And I said, sir, can you say the blood of Jesus? And this is what he did. He couldn't do it. Now at that point, see, the Holy Ghost is telling me what to ask him, but I didn't know what to do. At that point, I did not know what to do. Because I'm at this point, I'm stuck. And so I asked the guy who was overseeing all the prayer counselors there and the prayer people. I said, Herb, can you help me over here? And he took that phone. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come. I said, I got it. You see. So all of this, you know, you might say, well, I know that already. Let me ask you, when you get into a situation like I got into, you ain't got time to do this. Let me see. What's in that book again? No. You better know, and it had better be down in your spirit, and the Holy Ghost will pull from that. He won't leave you or forsake you. But you better know who you are in Christ when those kind of situations come about. And in that situation, you know, there were other experiences that I had with the name of Jesus and using it. And it's important that we know what we have and what we have access to. It's like having $1 million in the bank and you don't even know. And you're not, and number one, you don't even know you have it. And number two, even if you have it, like we're all saying, oh yeah, I got the name of Jesus, are you drawing upon it? Are you drawing upon the wealth that you have available to you? You see. And so that's important for us to know, isn't it? So let's, this evening, I know we had a wonderful lesson on Sunday. And, you know, we looked at some truths there. But let's turn over for us for a moment. Let's look at John chapter 14. While you're turning there, let me tie this lace here so I don't fall over here. John 14. And let's look at starting in verse 12. John 14. And I think God allows us to experience some things so that as we go through life, we can draw upon those experiences. Now, you may not have exactly experienced what I did, but some of you may. And some of you may be facing some situations. And I'll tell you one thing, you've got the name of Jesus. I'm thinking of one instance where I had some, at the time, relatives were going through a tough spot, a hard spot. They were living in some very difficult situation, and so I went to visit them. And they didn't want to hear about Jesus. And so I went back about a couple of weeks later, and I said, you know, I really don't want to go. And the Lord prompted me for 2 weeks to use the name of Jesus and command those spirits that are hindering them from receiving and listening. He said, use the name of Jesus. and command those spirits to back off and to desist, and that they will be open to hear and listen. And I did that for about 2 weeks. And I remember when I went, up to that point, they would say, could we please change the subject? And I'd say, sure, no problem. This time they just said, can you tell me more? Tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. So it's important that when we get into situations, don't get frustrated with people. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against what? Principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're warring against, not people. And God has given us, God the Father has given, and he has exalted Jesus to the highest place in this universe. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and given him a name. And then Jesus turned around and gave it to us. And that's what we're going to read here. Is it not? John 14, and look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he has taken our request. He's taken the responsibility of that request. Jesus has. When I ask it, he says, I got it. I'll take care of it now. And he does what? Then he goes and presents it to the Father. The highest person, the highest one elevated in this universe, does it. And he says what? He says here, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that what? The Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John 16. Hallelujah. John 16, and look at verse 23 and 24. So it says in John 16, 23 and 24, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever. Boy, that's a blank check, isn't it? Whatsoever. You shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, have you ever thought about this? I don't know if you have. Right here, Jesus has given us the use of the name. Nowhere does Jesus mention here, I don't know, you'll keep looking, maybe you could help me if you see it, but nowhere does he mention if we believe or if we have faith. He doesn't say it. He said ask. And if you go and you, I believe if you look at, turn over to Mark 16 a second. Let's keep the finger there, but let's back over to Mark 16. It may help to look at this particular scripture in that light. If you look at Mark 16, so here we've been given the authority in the name of Jesus. Now, let's read verses 17 and 18. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, I'm going to read this from some other translations. Most of the translations that you read, there are some, but a lot of them, I'll say. When you read it in verse 17, it says, instead of follow them, it says accompany them. I like that. Something accompanying me, you know, if somebody says something follows me, I'm thinking about this. Is it following me? But something that accompanies me is walking right alongside me, didn't it? Somebody accompanying me, they could be behind me, but the inference is something accompanying me is coming along right with me. Now, listen to this. This is in God's Word translation. This is Mark 16 and 17. "These are the miraculous signs that will accompany believers. They will use the power and authority of my name to force demons out of people. They will speak new languages. They will pick up snakes, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick and cure them." In the Greek, a literal rendering in the Greek of this verse says, "These signs shall accompany the believing ones." Now, let me read this. This is a very accurate translation. It's called the Worrell translation. I like this. This is another, it's similar. "And these signs shall accompany those having believed." If you have believed, you are a believer. I don't need faith to believe something that I've been given. That's why you don't see Jesus saying, if you have faith, you can use the name. You are a believer who has believed in him and have been baptized into him. And he's given you his name. You don't need faith to use the name because you are a believer who has believed. Amen. Glory to God. So you have access to the name. Glory to God. So it's his power. It's his ability, not yours. Everything, all the omnipotence is in the name. So when I use that name as a believer, he's the one that's, what did he say? "Ask whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it." So it's his power that's coming to work, that's accompanying you when you use the name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's accompanying us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And turn over to 2 Corinthians a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a familiar scripture verse. So the name of Jesus belongs to every child of God, every believer. The name of Jesus belongs to. It's your right to use it. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "We then, as workers together with him," we are workers what? Together with him. Hallelujah. So he's given us the name, And we are to use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's take a look. Let's go over to Luke. And let's, well, actually, yeah, that's good. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned, these are the disciples, the 70 returned again with what? Joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Hallelujah. I like this. Listen to this. This is in the Good News Translation. The 72 men came back in great joy. Lord, they said, even the demons obeyed us when we gave them a command in your name. I like that. When we gave them a command in your name, they obeyed us. Hallelujah. I like when Reverend Mary Frances Rolla was here, she said, if you use the name of Jesus and they don't respond, call the police. Because it's flesh. Because if I use the name of Jesus and there's a demon involved or influence, must respond. Now, you do know there's people that'll operate in the flesh and then there's people that'll be motivated by a demon spirit. If they don't respond, call the police. Or as Mike Keyes did one time, he was with us, he said he picked this lady up overseas and threw her off the stage. And I said, I like that. He was a young man, he didn't know what to do, and he said he was sitting on the stage and this witch doctor jumped up on the stage and grabbed the mic and wanted to take over the service with thousands of people. And he got up, spun her around, and did this. Whew! Off the stage she went and tossed her. And he said that because of that show, she just peeped off and never came back. See, you got to sometimes show who's in authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when we use the name of Jesus, demons must bow and respond. I'm thinking of another situation. I was the Lord had directed me to minister to this young lady, and I was hesitant at first because I don't know, I won't do that unless the Lord directs. Because at the time I'm a single person, and to go over to this woman's house, I wouldn't do it unless the Lord directed me to do it, and I did. And so when I went. The lady happened to live in the same town. And so when I went to the house, it was like looking at a zombie. The woman just kind of just, you know, just was spaced out. And so what I found out was that she had been in a car accident. It was a real sad situation. She was in a car accident. Her husband had died and the children had gotten all messed up in this accident, and so did she. And so God had delivered her out of that. But in that, she was on so much medication, so much meds, and she said that some crazy amount that would make you just be a zombie, which is what she was. So if you talked with her, you're just talking to a blank wall almost. And so she said that growing up, her parents were involved in witchcraft. So I knew when she started to talk about, because I asked her, she started to tell me that she was seeing demons. And I said, okay, did you grow up around it? Were you involved in it? And so we started to talk. And after about 6 months of going back and forth, once a week I would go over there and sit and share the word with her and pray. Wouldn't stay long, maybe an hour or so, and then I'd leave. And I'd say after that, about 6 months, I said, Lord, I'm not coming back and do this. This is a waste of my time. this is an absolute waste of my time. You're just talking and no response. It's like a blank wall. So I said, why am I going over here? For what? You know, this is me in the natural talking, right? And so at home, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I'd never done this, never was taught. That's why I say, you know, when you hear the Holy Ghost, do it. Obey his directions. I'm home quiet, and he said, I want you to get up and speak to those demons that are harassing her and bothering her, her mind. Get up and speak to them in the name of Jesus and command them to go. And I thought, my first thought was, how can I do that? I'm not there. See, no one taught this. I was young, didn't know. So I got up and I said, just said, in the name of Jesus, I command these demon spirits that are harassing this person, desist and leave in the name of Jesus. That's all I did. Well, as God is my witness, I went over that week and I ring the doorbell. Now, normally this person would answer the door and be looking like I'm looking at a wall, expressionless, looking into a person's eyes, blank. I opened the door. I really thought I got the wrong place. I opened the door. She says, good evening. How you doing? And I'm like, whoa, what is this? As normal as you or I are. I'm talking about normal. She said to me, I've had the greatest week. She said, I have stopped all my medications. She said, and I said, well, because here's what happened, you know, and the story was very complex because she was on being assisted by her family and they were paying for all the meds and all of this. And I said, well, you need to go see your doctor. I didn't tell her to or not to, but she chose to stop taking the meds. She felt so good. Well, then after that, I think I went back one more week. And of course, now she can really see who she's dealing with now. So she said, I'd like you to meet my mother. And I said, that's not why I'm here. So she started to have some other interests. And I said, it's time we cut this. And I never went back. I didn't. I didn't call and just never went back because I said, she can see now. You understand my point. But you see, God was trying to help her and deliver her. And so anyways, you know, the name of Jesus, at God's direction, in that case, God directed me to use the name of Jesus for this person in this situation. But I'm telling you, when God tells you to do something, his power is behind it. And the name of Jesus has all power. What does he say? All power in heaven and earth has been given to him. Amen. Glory to God. So, this says here, we looked at that. Let's look at Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. You know, I've had some experiences where what I would say demon spirits are concerned, and I know there's a lot of excesses, I will say that much, excesses that people are exposed to. And I'm not here to get into that or to say what is and what isn't legitimate. But I can tell you this, that when the name of Jesus is used, there is deliverance. And I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Acts 16. And look, starting in verse 16. Acts 16 and starting in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed, what is it? She was what? Possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being what? Grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And what? He came out. Came out the very same hour. But he was what? He was grieved. Where? In his spirit. So this wasn't just somebody following him. She had been following him for what? Many days. So this just wasn't an annoyance, you know, somebody like, get out of here and use the name of Jesus. He was grieved in his spirit. So he was directed by the Spirit to do something. Let me read this in a modern English, the New International Version. Once again, verse 16, once again, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. Hallelujah. I've experienced not that, but like I said, I've experienced where that young lady was being oppressed. She said she could see the spirits. And so when the Lord directed me to use the name, they backed off. She was free. And immediately, she stopped taking medication. Immediately, her mind was clear. You see. So when you run into people that just seem to be in a certain state, use the name of Jesus. Ask God and say, Lord, I need to help this person. How do I help them? Get some direction from God. Don't fight people. If you're going to come against anything, you come against the motivations that are behind the individual. And ask God, you know, give me insight on what to do. Amen? You know, I think in this time and age that we live in, you better become aware of your surroundings. I'll tell you another instance, a situation. We need to not be so natural-minded. When the mall was in operation over here, the old Nanuet Mall, I was waiting for a bus, and so I was on the second level of the store, the shops over there, and so I just said, well, I'll wait in the bus. I'll just window shop, you know what I mean? You're just looking at things, and maybe I'll buy something, maybe I won't. So I'm kind of just poking around, right? So I see this store. It's just outside of the Sears building, and it had this name on this store, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. As soon as I walked in the store, as soon as I stepped into the store, my spirit went, and I went, ooh. And it was grieved. And I said, something not right. And I'm walking in, and I'm walking in, my spirit is grieved. And I'm looking like, what the heck is in this store? I'm looking. Next thing I look up on all, and it was some clothing store, but then I'm looking and they had gargoyles and all kinds of things on the shelves. And this is, God is my witness to this day, I heard down here, get out of this store immediately. And I said, okay, let me get out of here. See, when the Holy Ghost tells you to leave, don't think you're so big and bad with the name of Jesus, because you'll be in there doing it on your own strength and get whooped or get exposed to something that you don't want to, you see. And I thought the interesting thing was that after that experience, one of the deacons in this church told me, oh, you know, I went into this store, blah, blah, blah. And I went, really? And I heard them say, yeah, my spirit wasn't comfortable. I said, well, that's good. At least they picked that up. But there was another person that went in there and said, oh, you ought to go shop in that store. And I went, that wasn't a deacon. It was a member. And I thought, you need to become more spiritually attuned, because you're going to get yourself in some spiritually exposed here if you're not more sensitive. And that's why I say we need to be aware of our surroundings, people, places, stores, and things that we go into, because there are evil, wicked forces at work to expose people and to release demon spirits. But I thank God that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the greater one lives in me. So even though I'm walking around and doing and shopping and so forth, I always keep an antenna up. I always am sensing, okay, how does that feel? I don't know about you, but it's good to get into the habit and not be so, I will say it this way, so enamored with things. But keep your heart, you are a spirit. You're a spirit being, and God speaks to us and directs us through our spirit. Don't be so, you know, glued in with your eyes and your senses and everything that you turn this off, you see. It's never off, but just be sensitive. Amen? So we have the name of Jesus, and let's turn one other scripture here. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verse 8, Matthew 8. Well, actually, let's back up to verse 5. And it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. So he was a Gentile. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So what you can see here is he was saying to Jesus, you've been set over diseases, as I am set over these 100 men, and am called a centurion. So you are the master over disease and sickness, over demons and the laws of nature. All you have to do is speak, and your servants obey as I speak. My servants obey. Let me read this in the New Living. It says, but the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. I like that. He's under the authority of his superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. So his point was, I'm under the authority of someone that's over me. This is what we have. We are under authority to the Lord Jesus. And he's given us the name, which is all powerful. So don't ever think that you're stuck. You got the name of Jesus. Meditate upon that name. Meditate on what's been given you. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the name. He said, let's read those scriptures again in John, just to remind ourselves. John 14, it says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a blank check. Anything in my name. John 16, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Up till now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So, we have been born into the family of God. And because of that, the name belongs to the family. It belongs to us. We don't need faith to use the name. It's my name. Do you need faith to use your name? No. It's your name. And when you use it, what does he say? Anything that's asked in his name, Jesus said, I will do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are baptized into the name. And being baptized into that name, we are baptized into Christ himself. So we have the name accessible to us. It was conferred upon us by Jesus, who gave us the power of attorney. He conferred upon us the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And what does it say in Mark 16? We are commissioned as ambassadors to go and herald this name among the nations. So we've been commissioned to use the name. So there should be no question about whether I have access to it. I've been baptized into Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives in me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, all it takes is one experience. I believe that's what happened to the apostles when they went out and used the name. Isn't that what we just got done reading? They were full of joy. They said, Master, even the demons. That's what he said. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. That's what I experienced. When dozens of times, when the Lord directed me, use that name, the demons would respond. And that's what got me excited as a young Christian. I said, my God, they bow to the name. Situations respond to the name. And so, don't get to the place of saying, Lord, what am I going to do? The circumstances and issues in this earth are for us to change. We're the body of Christ here in this earth. So it's our responsibility to use the name to change it. Isn't that true? So when we're confronted with obstacles and situations, whatever they may be, he said, whatsoever you ask in my name. Whatsoever means what? Whatsoever. Anything. Thank you. That's what it means. Anything. So that means we should not feel like I'm stuck, I don't know what to do. You've got the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, that's enough for this evening. I think let's meditate on that a little bit. And we'll come back Sunday, jump back in again. You know, if you just take what you have, this little bit, sometimes I haven't traveled much overseas. I think there's enough demons and devils in this country right here that people face on a regular basis that they can use the name of Jesus against. And don't be thinking about people. Think about, you say, that person acts like a devil. Well, maybe they're being influenced by one, you see. But I'm convinced that God is looking for a people that will use the name of Jesus and not be intimidated by circumstances and situations. And when God has sent and given us a commission, then that's what we do. We use that name unashamedly and fearlessly. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Well, Father, we thank you for this lesson this evening. Thank you that the word encourages us. We thank you for the spirit of faith in the name of Jesus. We already have the name, so we don't need to use faith to use it. But let our hearts be stirred, Father, in faith to step out farther than we've ever stepped out before, knowing that we're accompanied by Him. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for these truths in our heart. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.